Hey guys, just like Beth said, my name is David. Also, like she said, if we have not met, come up to me afterwards. I want to meet you guys. I help out here with the middle school as well as the high school sometimes. And so love working with middle schoolers. And if you're new today, or even if like this is like your second or third time, I want to preface this. The conversation today, although the hope is not to be awkward, it might be on the fringe of awkward, okay? And it's on the fringe of awkward because we make it awkward, okay? And so I just want you to know that. And every day in SU is not normally like today, okay? Like when I tell people, it's like, oh, I'm going to go talk about sex with a bunch of middle schoolers and stuff. They're like, oh my gosh, good luck, right? Like, but it's a great topic to talk about, and it's a needed topic to talk about, because if we don't talk about it in the church, it's talked about every place else. And so talking about it here and getting God's perspective on things is critical. And so before we get going too far, I want to give you guys an opportunity. If you don't have Bibles, if you don't have your own Bible or a Bible app, I want to encourage you guys, you can come on up to the very front. There's two Bible carts up here. Go ahead and grab a bunch of Bibles for your group. You're going to need them about halfway through. And so now's your time. I'll give you 1 minute. And then also get really comfortable, okay? Get really, really comfortable. No, I want to keep you right where you're at.
We're going to be nice and snug for this.
We're all going to hold hands. Well, they're 8th graders. Come on. Right, 8th grade? You guys are 8th graders. You can sit on couches.
I'm good.
All right. Hey, you guys got your Bibles. You will need those in just a little bit, like I said, but don't worry about them just yet. I want to tell you guys a few stories that I know I interacted with when I was in middle school, and I loved my middle school years, but let me tell you, there were some awkward moments, right? Let me tell you this one time, my middle school had this huge courtyard out front. Okay, it was a pretty big middle school, and I remember once, like, after school, I, like, walked out of the front doors, and there were these two 8th graders, I think I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade, but there were these two 8th graders who were, like, up against this pillar over on one side of the school playing tonsil hockey over there, and there was this moment where, like, I froze. And I just asked the question, like, what do I do with this? Like, what are you guys doing, first off? And then what do I do? What do I do? Maybe another situation that you guys interact with, I know I did, was when I was at, like, lunch, and all my friends who were kind of, like, semi-church-ish, they were always talking about, like, their relationships and the girls they were dating, and they were always talking about, like, oh, I did this with my girlfriend, and then another guy's like, no, I did this, and like trying to pull like trump cards on each other with like how far they went with like their boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's just like, God, what do I do? What do I do with that, right? Like, what am I supposed to do in that situation? Another topic that might come up for you guys, girls, might be like one of your friends come up to you and is like, oh my gosh, this is my middle school girl interpretation, okay? You just have to go with me here. Oh my gosh, this boy that I've been crushing on for like so long just asked me out on a date, and like I'm so excited for this weekend. Maybe we'll hold hands, or maybe we'll even kiss. Like, oh my gosh, right? Like, that's a 7-year-old? Okay, that's close enough, right? That's close enough. So that's like, maybe that's the situation. I never experienced that, okay? I was never there. I never talked like that in middle school. I talked more like this. So maybe that's your situation. Or maybe it's you have, like, that boyfriend or girlfriend over. You just started dating. You're, like, 2 weeks in, so it's, like, so serious, right? Like, you really love this person. And you have them over to your house to, like, watch a movie, right? And then all of a sudden, it's just you guys. Parents are, like, off doing something else, like reading a book or making a dinner or something. And it's just you guys, you're watching the movie, and guys, you're totally like, hey, if you were a pirate, would you keep your parent on this side or this side? You know what I mean? And you, like, pull one of those moves, right? Yes, it's an actual move. I'm married, aren't I? It worked. No.
I've never even heard of that.
So maybe it's you guys. Maybe it's you guys who are in those situations. Maybe it's you guys who are interacting saying, hey, I want to be, like, physical. I want to be, you know, like, I want to hold her hand, or I want to kiss her, or maybe it's more, right? But you want to do that, but you're asking the question, what do I do? Like, what do I do with this? As a believer in God, as a believer in Christ, what am I supposed to do with this? And so today, we want to answer that question. But to do that, I first want to bring up the largeness of, when we talk about sex, the weight that that holds. You see, when I just said that, all of you kind of start to cringe up a little bit, right? All of you get a little sweaty in your palms. And there's a natural, like, kind of awkwardness, an awkward air about it when we bring this up. Because we know that it's bigger than other topics. We know that it's a bigger deal than some of these other things, okay? Things that are sexually charged, they stick with us. And you heard, and some of you guys might interact with this, but some of you probably have not. And so I love where Michael's talking about how he was in these relationships, and he had this boundary that he wasn't going to have sex. But as he was in relationships, and sometimes wasn't in relationships with girls, but was engaging in different sexual activity, they left him empty. And it left him with regret. You see, things that are sexually charged are different. We oftentimes wish that as we got into relationships, it was easy to, you know, make out with this girl or do other things with this guy. And we can get into this relationship and we can do things. And it's great because we can be in this relationship for a few months. And let's be honest, it's probably not going to be the one that you're going to end up with forever. But we think that. And so we start engaging in these different relationship type things. And when we break up, we hope that we could just both go our separate ways. Everything be just fine. And the world moves on. But we know that that's not true. Things that are sexually charged stick with us. In fact, oftentimes, things that are sexually charged, whenever we interact, if it's, and I'm gonna speak to it on your guys' level, if it's holding hands, making out, whatever that looks like, we think that we can just break up at the end of it and everything be okay, but this is more of what it looks like. This is more of what it actually is. And some of you guys have encountered this. You break up with that boy or that girl, and it just hurts. It sucks. Because when you're engaging in those types of things, it's not just physical, okay? You're engaging emotionally, spiritually. You're engaging on many deeper levels than just physical, okay? And so when you break up, when you go your different ways, you're leaving a part of yourself with this person and vice versa. And it hurts, okay? It hurts a lot. And I know for many of you guys, the thing is that we've been told is, hey, I can create boundaries, right? How many of you guys have, like, been taught, like, in relationships, hey, totally just make boundaries and it's totally okay. Like, all we're going to do is kiss, right? Like, that's as far as we're going to go. And you create these boundaries. But what we're doing when we create boundaries is what we're saying is that, you know what? It's okay to be in a relationship and to do this and to do that, but not do these other things. And so what we're saying is, what I did to that piece of paper earlier is I glued it. Like, I glued the entire thing. But what we're saying when it's like, oh, all I'm going to do is kiss this person, or all we're going to do is just touch each other with our clothes on, what that begins to look like is you're just putting a little dab of glue on there. And you're saying, hey, it's totally okay. We're just doing just a little bit, okay? We're just kissing. That's all it is. We're just holding hands. That's my boundary, right? But the thing is, even when we just do that, what happens when we have to pull those apart? This is one that I just put a little bit of dab on, okay? I didn't cover the whole thing. What happens, you are still leaving a part of you, even though it seems small to hold their hand, even though it seems like a little deal to kiss this person, right? Like, you're in love, it's totally okay to kiss. Look, you're still leaving a piece of you with this person because it's not just physical. In fact, it's so much more. And so we start to create these boundaries, but I don't think that the message of boundaries is actually biblical. I don't think it is. And so I want to look at what is biblical and what do we need to aim for. And so if you guys have those Bibles in front of you, check out 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's towards the back. It's one of Paul's letters, so it's past the Gospels. It's kind of midway in the New Testament. It's right before 2 Corinthians. It's a good hint, you know, 2 Corinthians. Whoop! 1 Corinthians, right before that. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And once you get there, I want you to put your finger on verse 18. And once you put your finger on verse 18, I want you to throw up your Bible app or your Bible up in the air really quickly, and then you can put it back down. And now I know. Now I know. Whoa, eighth grade girls, what's up? All at once. Chapter 6, verse 18. You are so welcome. All right. If you're still turning there, totally okay. You'll get there. You'll read with us when you get there. All right, so verse 18 in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians right here. Check this out. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins, everything else that a man commits, are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? We talked about that last week. If you were here, we talked about how you're the temple. That you being the temple, you need to keep that temple clean. You need to take care of it. If you believe in Christ and the Spirit has come inside of you, you know what we're talking about. You are now the temple. God's Spirit resides in you, and you're responsible for taking care of that. It says there in 19, yeah, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, the question that we started with, what do I do? What do I do in these situations? The first word here at verse 18 aims right at that. What's the first word in this passage? What's the very first word? Give it to me.
Flee.
Flee. What do I do? Flee. Now, after that, it describes, what do I flee from? I flee from sexual immorality. Okay? And that's where the definition becomes a little bit more gray for people, okay? But flee from sexual immorality. And for this morning, I'm going to put one big line down. Sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage. Sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage, okay? That is sexual immorality. Flee from sexual immorality is what it says. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's, when I think of this word flee, I think of like, here is something, I'm going to turn my back to that something, and I'm going to like dead sprint my way, like 40 meter dash away from that one thing that I now have my back to, right? That's what we think when we think flee. But when we think flee, we also need to think, okay, I have my back to this thing, I'm running away from this thing, but now what am I running towards? Where am I going? It's easy to say, turn your back and run, but where are you going? Now, here's the thing. We're not going to get into this really deep or really far, but the thing that God would have you run from, so flee from sexual immorality, that's what he says. So if it's holding hands, or if it's kissing with this girl, or if it's walking out of the school and seeing this couple play tonsil hockey, turn, run, flee from it. Run away from it. If literally is needed, then literally, right? Flee from that. But what he has you run towards, and we're not going to get too far into this, he has you run towards purity. That's what the high schoolers are talking about a little bit more in depth. This is kind of a step-by-step thing as we begin to explain this whole thing. And so that's all I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you flee. Whenever you're interacting and you ask the question, what do I do when my friends are talking about how far can they go with their boyfriend or their girlfriend? What do I do when that girl comes up to me and says, I want to make out with this really cute boy? What do I do when I'm in the situation and I want to really be close to this girl, but I don't want it to be awkward and I don't want her to like scoot away from me, so I'm just going to like get closer and closer. My hand's going to like this little like walk thing towards hers. What do I do? Flee. Stop it. Flee sexual immorality, things that lead that direction. Just flee. And know that when you get to high school, when we're going to walk alongside you, if you continue to be part of the student ministry, we want to walk alongside you in this, that as we go towards high school, as we progress, we're going to start talking about purity a lot more. Okay, we're going to start talking about what does that really mean for purity. And so trust God that this is exactly what he has for you. A little story about the flee situation that I just love. There was this guy in the Old Testament, his name was Joseph. Joseph was a really important guy in Pharaoh's house. He was actually second in command. Okay, he was really, really important. And he was trusted with a lot of stuff. He was very trustworthy. And Pharaoh trusted him inside of his house when Pharaoh was gone. And so one day, Pharaoh's wife, you know, king of Egypt here, Pharaoh's wife went up to Joseph and, let's be honest, Joseph was like a super hot guy and was like really smart. Like everyone wanted Joseph. And so Pharaoh's wife went up to Joseph, which Tyler is totally not Joseph here, but just kidding. Went up to Joseph, grabbed his cloak and said, come and sleep with me. Come and be with me. Was very forward, right? Yeah. And said that, and said that. And you know what Joseph did? Which she would have been a very beautiful woman. That would have been very tempting. And she was also very, very, like, important, right? That would have been a very tempting thing. Joseph, like, ripped off his cloak, like, ran out of his cloak and fled. He ran. He sprinted out of the house, ran away as quickly as he could. And if you can imagine this, by the time he ran out of his cloak, he's now in his, like, undergarments. So he's like running through the house, like kind of semi-naked, just to get away from this woman. He's like, leave me alone. I don't want to be with you. That's sexual immorality. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to flee away from that. I love that example because it's like a literal, like, I'm running away from this. And the consequence for what he did is he actually got put in prison. Despite the consequence, she held his cloak and she called to the guards and she said, this man, Joseph, he tried to rape me. Here's my evidence. Here's his cloak. As he was trying to do this, I took his cloak and I screamed and he ran away. And he got put in prison for it. Despite that consequence, he fled. Despite the consequence. Now, here's the thing, guys. I'm going to pull out this little beautiful whiteboard real quick, so hang with me. There's two ways. And like I said earlier, if we don't talk about this in the church, then the world's going to tell you all kinds of stuff about it. Because the world is going to sell... The world is going to sell sex as just physical. The world is going to sell sex as just a physical thing because, let's be honest, marketing-wise, other things, like saying that sex is more than physical, it just doesn't work in marketing. And so they're not going to tell you that it's more than physical. They're going to tell you that you can totally be with someone, you can do anything you want with someone, you can leave that situation, and you'll be just fine. But God's way is different. So the world's way is going to tell you that. But what do they care about when they tell you that sex is not physical? They care about marketing. They care about making money. They care about themselves. But God's way is so much different. And this is what is so convincing and so convicting for me. What I trust in this, the sell of marketing, the sell of it's okay, or do I trust the one who created me? The one who created sex to be a great thing within the bounds of marriage. The one who created it to be awesome, but also has told us to flee sexual immorality. Because the one who created it, he knows not only how to sustain it, but he knows how to restore it. And I have personal evidence of this in my own life, where I was, you know, this torn piece of paper. And God knows how to restore that. If you've been in relationships, you've already done things, and you're like, it's too long, I'm too far gone. No, God can restore that because he created it. He knows exactly what it needs to be. But he knows right now in your life, all you need to do is flee. And trust that the explanation of purity is going to come in the future. Okay? I'm going to pray for you. You're going to be able to talk about this in your groups. Group leaders, if you're looking at your sheet of paper and you're like, this question is dumb, this question is great, I want you to go with what you need to go with. If you need to create your own questions, great, go with it. 3, 4, and 5 questions are kind of a series of questions. If you want to do those all in one series, it's kind of a project type thing, so you can do that together. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to let you dive into your group times, okay? Father God, thank you so much for your creation of sex and just the beauty that it is in our world and the beauty that you've created to be within marriage. And Father God, we don't understand it sometimes, although we're incredibly tempted to be with this guy or this girl or whatever that looks like. We don't understand why we can't. We don't understand why you've told us to flee, but you have. Because you know that it hurts us. You know that it harms us if it's not in the context of a covenant. And so God, may we just be seeking after you and not thinking of the world's way as the priority. I ask this in your name. May just bless these conversations that are about to be had. Amen.